Hallelujah. We'll just try to. Hallelujah. I got 10 years of credibility, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, in all sincerity, and I am hoping that we're learning that God loves us. I want to share with you something. Let's go. I'm going to share with you 2 points, and we're going home, okay? We're going home. 2 points, we're going home. If the Holy Spirit allows us to go that way. I want to talk about walking with the King, my part five, my final part. My final part. I think. I want to talk about, in particular, 2 results of walking with the King. I want to summarize what we've done, what we've covered in the other previous 4 parts. I want to summarize it in these 2 points. And in case I don't get to them, I want to give you the points now, because in case I just get happy and don't get both of them. 2 results of walking with the King. Result number one, a change in your life. Nobody walks with the King without being changed. 2 men on the road to Emmaus, walking with the King and didn't even know it was him. But the thing that they find out after they recognize it was him, they said, did not our hearts burn? What in the world was going on the inside of us? And we didn't even know who it was. Nobody walks with the King without being changed. A change in, I ain't talking about, now notice what I'm saying. I'm talking about walking with him. I ain't talking about these folks say, I believe in God. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. They don't walk with God, though. So I'm talking about walking with him. Yes. Nobody walks with God without having a change of life. Look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Very familiar passage of scripture. While you're going there, I'm going to give you my second point in case I don't get to it. So 2 results of walking with the King. Number one was a change in your life. Number two is a crown for your life. I mean, if I'm going to start walking, let me know what I'm going to get at the end of this thing. What's the result? What does it result in for me? How is it going to end up? Got to go through some stuff. You say the fire don't burn me, but is it worth even getting in the fire? I mean, sometimes, hey, you know, because you may hit a fire between now and then. But if the result is a crown, maybe you could take the heat. Look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You there? Yes, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You cannot walk with the King without a change in your life. That word new means fresh. It means unused. It means unprecedented. God is not giving you something recycled. There's a new life now. There's a newness that we walk in. When you walk with the King, it's new. I'm going to try to cover a little ground here so I ain't, you know. John 10 and 10. The Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. If we had life before, why did Jesus come bringing life? The reason is we existed before. We didn't have life. We simply existed. See, now that we're walking with him, we got life. There's a change in us. It ain't about how we feel, because sometimes you don't feel right. But I'm talking about what you have, not how you feel. See, before we simply existed, walking with the King, we have an abundant life in us. Jesus, he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus desires for you to live an abundant life. You got enough life in you to give somebody else life. You don't have a shortage of life. Hear me. You have enough life in you to give somebody else life. Okay. Out of your belly shall flow what? Of what? No, not water. Living water. The water is living. You can give other people life. That's what's in us. That's why it's an abundant life. There's no shortage of it. How many people can you lead to the Lord? You got a limit? No. Because you got life in you. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. I'm just trying to cover a little ground here. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Not no old stuff. We should walk in this new life. Because there's a change in our life. Well, let me do this. Because sometimes, you know, we talk about change. So let me go back a little bit here. Because sometimes we wonder, is this thing real? Is it real life? Is it really happening? Let me share something with you. And, you know, sometimes people don't like to reminisce about everything. And I don't believe you should reminisce about everything. But I want to just for a moment. Do you remember how you used to live in sin and didn't care? I mean, maybe I do it a little better, Ken. There was a time when we fornicated and we didn't even care it was fornication. There was the time that we would practice fornication. There was a time. See, the Bible says such were some of us. Do I need to go down the whole list to find yours? Because, you know, people sometimes look at you all, you know. But we practice it. But you know what happens now? You want to know if you have new life? It's not that you can't do those things. Now a conviction comes when you do those things. It ought not to be once said amongst the saints, but you can't do it without conviction now. Back then, it wasn't no conviction. I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, with who I want to do it. If you got a problem with it, fine, that's your problem. But now there's a conviction. You look at somebody wrong, the Holy Ghost said, now you know that wasn't right. It's because of the newness of life that's in us. There's a newness now that's not like what we had before. That existence that we had before, that simply we thought we were living and having a good time. In the reality, we weren't. No life, dead in our trespasses and sins. But thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph. Always. See, we're called to walk in a whole new life, not some old recycled existence that we used to partake in. Number two, I told you, we're going to do 2 points. I'm going home. We going home. Number two. A crown for your life. If you think about it, the two things that you really and I really need to look at is, listen, Jesus changes our life. Some of us recognize that we really, 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 really needed a change. You know, Jesus said something one time, to whom much is given, much is required. But he said this also, those that are forgiven much, love much. It's amazing when you watch people who were forgiven much worship versus people who don't think like they were forgiven of much. Wow. See, because the Bible says a woman came to Jesus and she with an alabaster box. We know that story. Oh, pour perfume on his feet. Washed his feet with her hair and her tears and all of that. Do you know the scripture says right before that, whom was delivered of 7 devils? So she was forgiven much. So what's the alabaster box? Because she recognized, I love much because I'm forgiven much. So I'm willing to do whatever it takes to show how much I love. I was forgiven much. That's why I watch some folks. You don't understand. You acting like you weren't forgiven of much. So when you see me, my worship is real. Because I was forgiven of much. That's my story. I was forgiven of much. Well, you know, I wasn't real bad. Yes, you were. You just still operating in deception. Hallelujah. Let me get to my next point here. Crown for your life. Let me do this. Your spiritual achievements will be recognized. What have you gone through? What's your fire? What's the battle that don't turn you? Now, see, wait a minute. Everybody in here don't know your fire, don't know your battle, but he does. Your spiritual achievements will be recognized. You know, when there was a time when, you know, it was easy, I'm going to just cuss you out. Now the Holy Spirit says, hold your peace. Your spiritual achievements will be recognized. Don't you know I'll slap you in the next week? Your spiritual achievements will be recognized. Oh, see, what am I saying? Because before, that was simply your flesh expressing itself. Now the spirit that's on the inside of you is controlling that flesh, and it won't let that flesh manifest. So now your spiritual achievements will be recognized. I mean, I know some of y'all look so sweet and kind in here now, but y'all would fight in a heartbeat. Or I'll take you out. This is it. You just give me just a second to get out there. And it was on. Oh, yes. But now, your spiritual achievements will be recognized. I ain't pointing no fingers at nobody. I'm just saying such was some of us. See, God could clean you up and make you look like that, wasn't you? I know some of your skirt, you know, if you seen this little scar right under here where I was running and I jump kicked it. See, we don't see that. We don't know because God don't clean you up. That skirt down just far enough to cover up that scar. Now, we don't know. But God, your spiritual achievements will be recognized. Let me give you some text so you don't think I'm just out there in left field. Look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. The Apostle Paul is talking to his mentee. Paul is about ready to get off the scene now. You know, it comes a time where you've spent time with an individual, you've poured your life into them, you've done all you can, and you recognize the hour is getting late for you. So you want to make sure you've conveyed the things that you needed to. Jesus done the same with his disciples. Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross. And before, prior to him going to the cross, he says this to the disciples. Whom do men say that I am? And they start breaking down, you know, giving them all of this, and this. But then he said this, whom do you say that I am? See, I spend time with y'all. I'm right here with you all. For 3.5 years, I poured my life in. Did you get it? Did you get what I was trying to convey? So now here's the Apostle Paul. His hour is growing late. Talking to his mentee, he says, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Every one of us, if the Lord tarries, is going to have an hour of departure. We're going to get out of here. It's coming. If the Lord tarries, it's coming. But now look at this. So verse 7, he says, I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Each of us are aware of the fight that we have endured to keep our faith in Christ. Now, did you hear what I said? It ain't a fight to get the faith. It's the fight to keep it. See, if you've been saved more than a day, you're still fighting to keep it. Do you believe like you first believed? Is he still a God who can do anything? Is he still a God that, like you would say, nothing is impossible for my God? What about when it's your situation now? All these years later. Do you still believe like you first believed? Or is it the fight for you to keep the faith? Is it starting to drain you now? See, that's what I'm saying. The reality is we're going to face some stuff in life that's going to challenge what you believe. But can you hold on to what you believe every day? That's what's happening. You wonder why people backslide? They're being challenged. They're in a fight, and the fight is challenging what they believe. And you find people that you, how are you, well, how are you going to make it and you're not around other believers? You by yourself, you're not in the Word of God, you nothing. I watch the internet. Really? That's it? How do you cover the one another's in the Bible there? What do you mean? Pray one for another. You don't know the another on the internet. How can you be kind to one another? You don't know the one another on the internet. How are we going to love one another unless we're with one another? Just a few of the one another. So just thought I'd touch on that. See, you and I are engaged in a fight to keep trusting the gospel of the King that we first heard. Do you still believe that Jesus is Lord? You still believe he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Still believe that you should just lay down your life and give it completely to him? See, these are the things you're still being checked on. And as long as there's breath in your body, you're going to be challenged. That's your fight. That's my fight. To keep believing no matter what. Late Bishop Lockett said, don't stop believing when things seem unbelievable. Because sometimes things look unbelievable. Do you still believe? It looked unbelievable when he was in the tomb after Calvary. So they say, I go a fishing. Until Jesus says, you know what? Throw your net on the other side over here. And all of a sudden, that looked like Jesus. Sure enough. See, some of us don't go a fishing. It ain't time to go fishing yet. Look at this, verse 8. So Paul lists this. He says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. So since I've done this, or verse 8, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now look at this. The crown is an indication of our victory. Can I, y'all don't get mad at me, but I'm going to share this. I don't believe, you know what? I don't believe Jesus is into giving trophies to people that don't do nothing. I know folks are, you know, oh, you own the team. Paul says, you know what? The crown is laid up for me and everybody that love his appearing. You won't have to qualify. The folks that love his appearing went through something. The folks that's looking forward to his appearing endured something. The folks that say, listen, it's something going on. I'm being challenged day in and day out in this fight. So listen, I expect something when I get there. Those are the people who get the crown. Not folks that just say, well, yeah, I believe in God. That ain't getting you no crown. Are you walking with it? Do you really love his appearance? You know, some folks, like, they care less whether Jesus come back or not. He ain't giving out trophies for folks that just don't care if he come back or not. Well, I'm just being honest, it's in the text. So the crown is an indication of our victory. It's because we overcame something. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Now, for the worship team, I didn't know that y'all was going to sing that, but since y'all did, I'm just going to go with it. It was already in my notes, so obviously it was already on y'all agenda to sing, so hallelujah. Romans 8 and 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. I'm going to show you why I said that in a minute. Look at this. According to Romans 8 and 33, it's impossible to lay charges against those that walk with the king because he frees us from all the charges. I'm walking with the one that you're trying to accuse me of. He freed me from all the charges. It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That's me. God is the one who justifies. So it's impossible for you to lay a charge against me because I'm walking with the one that you're trying to lay the charge with. Oh, come on now. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The king that you're walking with is interceding on your behalf. This thing is stacked in your favor. It's stacked in your favor. So God is the righteous judge. They can't lay a charge against you with him. Jesus, you're walking with him, and he's the one interceding for you. That's all right, because in a moment, I'm going to show you something. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Oh, I got some trouble in my life. Really? Or distress. So you in a situation that's perplexing, that's pulling you, that's demanding of you, that's costing you, that ain't going to separate you from his love. God, I'm a little stressed out today. That ain't going to separate you from his love. Things ain't going quite like I want to. Lord, I feel some frustration. That ain't going to separate you from his love. Oh, come on now. Or persecution. Folk on my job acting crazy. Every time I come up into them folk, if you don't do something, it ain't going to separate you from his love. As much as they may want to persecute you, as much as they want to treat you all out of character, it's not going to separate you from his love. Or, now look at this. Or famine. Sometimes, you know, have you ever went through that, the Bible says this, so I'm going to say this so you catch what I'm saying first. The Bible says there was a famine for 400 years between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew. But the famine wasn't food. It was the word of God. Sometimes there's a famine or a shortage of things in our lives. You ever gone through before I say this, I'm going to tell you, I've been through it. My wife and I, a financial famine. Well, it's just, okay, we didn't starve in there, but oh my goodness. Financially, it was. You said, Lord, is anything growing anywhere? But a famine financially. Having to deal with things, but you know what? It didn't separate us from his love. In other words, well, God loved us even when things weren't going the way we wanted them to go. Because you know what we say or what the enemy want us to start thinking? If he love you, why are you going through this? Well, you know what? I thought the word says if you pay your tithes and, you know, give your offerings, that he's going to open up the windows of heaven, pour you out blessings, not room enough to receive. Look like you got some room. But it won't separate you from his love. Won't separate you from his love. See, sometimes, that's why I believe everybody needs to understand or you need to read the book of Job. You need to really sit down because when I've gone through things in my life, I try to find in the word of God what other people have gone through. How did they handle it? That's your plan for success. Do what they did. You ain't got to try, oh, God, I need a new strategy. No, you don't. Just read this one. What did they do? The interesting thing about Job is he went through all of that and didn't know why. But God gave all of us a glimpse into what was going on. He was simply recommended. Can you imagine Job's frame of mind if he'd have known he was recommended? Bring it. This is it. Bring some more. Wait a minute. You know his story. How come you're not saying bring it? None of us want to go through. Come on. None of us. But now you know that God can actually recommend you because he looks at you knowing you can handle it. Boy, y'all got quiet then. Like, I don't know what was Job's problem. Same as yours. Don't want to go through that. You want text for it? Job said this, the thing that I've greatly feared has come upon me. I don't want to go through this. Just like you don't want to go through it. All right, I don't know how y'all got me all over there. Or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Listen to this. The worst things in this life are incapable of separating us from the love of the King. Let me say it again. The worst things in this life are incapable of separating us from the love of the King. I don't care what it is. Whatever you consider to be the worst thing that you could possibly go through, it cannot separate you from God's love for you. People, if you really read the Bible and see things that people went through, they still love God. I read some things, and I don't know about you, but I'm saying, and some of their conditions was a whole lot worse. Do you ever read the story of Tamar and Amnon? When Amnon, who was her stepbrother, raped her. Raped the girl. She didn't do nothing wrong. She was in there trying to help him. Raped her. Then he hated her. Okay, now back then, because she was raped, she couldn't get a husband. And now wait. Here's the kicker. Her daddy didn't do nothing about it. Not the police. We ain't talking about the police. Her daddy. Never dealt with it. That's why Absalom came along. But I'm saying, when you look at stuff like, look, what happened to this woman? I mean, look at, what could she have possibly gone through mentally? But wait a minute. They love God. The worst thing that could happen to you in this life is incapable of separating you from the love of God. I believe that there's a level of endurance in us that is yet to be manifest because we've not understood that. Listen, God's going to love you through whatever it is. I'm about finished. Give me a few minutes. Verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So we exceed the status of conquerors. Yes, sir. We didn't just barely make it. We're more than conquerors. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death. Now we've talked about everything in this life. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. If you say, oh, what about them demons? They can't do nothing either. They can't separate you from the love that God has for you. Oh, well, you know, they're terrorizing me. They still can't separate you. See, let me stay here. No principalities, no powers, no things present, no things to come. Whatever comes in the future, it can't separate you from God's love for you. Well, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Look like North Korea are going to do so and so. It can't separate you from the love of God. Well, you know, Russia, they might sneak in the back. It don't matter. It cannot separate you from the love that God has for you. Yes, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. If they create something new, it still can't separate you from God's love for you. Nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, as I close, nothing that is in this life or in any other life to come can ever separate us from the love the King has for us. Listen to this. You just need to be persuaded. Wow, wow, wow. Teach. What did Paul say in verse 38? For I am persuaded. See, it's true that nothing can separate you, but are you persuaded? Have you been persuaded that no matter what you go through, it can't separate you from God's love? When you get to that point, nobody or anything can ever stop you. Every head bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, we see ourselves in the scripture because you said the scriptures are a mirror. And we see ourselves as we are. But Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged to become persuaded to believe the gospel in every aspect of our lives. Jesus, if you said it, it's true. And if you said it, despite how it may look or how it may feel to us, we're able to count on what you said. I pray now, Lord, for those of us that have been dealing with situations where we're trying to believe your word, dealing with situations where we're trying to figure out what to do, that we would understand that, Lord, nothing can separate us from your love. Sometimes, Lord, we're so caught up in the next move or what should transpire in our lives that we miss the fact that you love us with an everlasting love. We get absorbed in what we're doing and not who we are. God, we belong to you. You loved us with an everlasting love. You gave your life for us. Lord, help us to be persuaded that what you say about us is true. Some of us have self-esteem issues because, Lord, we don't see ourselves like you said. Some of us are dealing with indecision and the ability to stand and make the right call because, Lord, we're not making it in light of what you say. We're making it in light of how we feel. We're making it in light of the environment that we're in. I pray, Lord, for a wholeness amongst your people, a wholeness to be persuaded that what you said is true. Your word never changes, and it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that you sent it to do. Lord, your word is in us. Help us to abide now in your word, that we indeed might bring forth fruit that will glorify you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Listen, as I prepare to take my seat, I want to share briefly. I believe you all that this is a time to really evaluate what you're believing sincerely. Because sometimes situations that are coming in your life, God allows them so you can see you. What do you believe? Not what someone's trying to tell you. What do you believe? What do you believe about God? How is he manifesting himself to you? Learn that you can trust him. Become fully persuaded. Then nobody can move you one way or the other, because you're persuaded in accordance to the scriptures. That's where we all want to come, because we don't know what we're going to face in the future. We don't know what's going to come on the land. We don't know these things, but we do know that nothing can separate us from his love. And we do know that all we need to become is persuaded of that. Hallelujah. I'm finished. Bless the Lord.